listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
Now, where did we leave off? Ah, yes. The hag and the kindly old couple's basement fought fiercely, but the party managed to wear her down. Uver obliterated her form with a powerful torrent from the plane of water, leaving a single, solitary potato spinning in the draining deluge.
Resident Evil 4.
The amount of dopamine that's sent to my brain there, I can't.
Well, that wasn't even jazz.
It wasn't, but it was good.
I'm not good with jazz.
Jazz, funk, junk.
Why not Faz?
A reference to robots. With what?
I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
Two.
What, upgrades, people.
What's his name?
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor and Robbie Williams.
The great Robbie Williams.
Taking the stick back, Elmo.
Oh, and Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes was in that? Oh, right. She was the yellow robot.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies.
I got this. I weep. For I have done something. I have gone to the movies. I have two words. Madam Web. You may carry on.
If you want more context, check out his threads.
All right, everyone start crying.
I told you, I can't cry and laugh at the same time.
And yeah, I told you, make it both.
It's called there hysterics.
It haven't you ever laughed so hard that you cry?
Yes, but usually I stop making sound.
I know a few things about hysterics.
Two words.
Well, what do you know about helmets? Sam,
you look like a broken man. My mind is not the same.
Sam was broken in a movie.
Sam, stop crying.
It's gonna be okay, buddy.
It's gonna be okay, man. We'll move on. You'll move on.
Will he?
He's
Will
forever
he?
Changed, Sven. Forever.
Forever.
This is him now.
Get used to it.
I just don't know what to do.
It's affected him to his very core.
I'm just gonna be Mothman today.
That's not gonna make any sense.
Val's new voice.
Speaking of Val's new voice.
Ah!
We last left off watching a single solitary potato swirl in the water left behind of the remnants of Uver's final dive and breach that finished off this hag. You are still in the cellar, but you have just finished disposing of this horrific creature that was mistreating the old man and woman who lived here.
Do you think they'll let us stay the night now?
At this point, when you ask that and everyone's very quiet, Val's just going to run over and start healing Neros.
That's fine. Just ignore Uver, who was also in the line of... Oh, wait, no, she was almost dead.
Yeah!
I believe it would be good of us to
stay here for the night, regardless of if they protest.
You can't just...
It's as Uver just kind of wrings out his clothes of water.
It would be rather rude if we tried to stay when somebody doesn't wish. We wouldn't be no better than the tag.
But we did just save their lives. I mean, as long as we don't put their lives in danger.
I'm going to press the digitation your clothes trying.
Thank you, my friend. Either way, we should at least inform them that the danger is over. I will go do this if you wish.
As Uwe just starts going up and up the stairs.
Neros, are you all right?
I'm a little better. No, yep, thank you.
She heals you 36 hit points.
Yep, thank you. Yep, I was almost dead.
I'm sorry I ran ahead. I wasn't thinking I could have, if I stayed back a little further, I could have helped you guys.
No, that's okay. No one could have seen that coming.
I suppose you're right. I just...
Don't beat yourself up, Val. It's fine. Thank you for the healing boost.
Yes, of course. Anytime.
I can feel my bones sticking back together.
That's good. Were they falling apart?
I got hit by lightning. Everything was coming apart.
That's fair.
My hair's unsinging as we speak.
Alward, are you all right, T? How are you?
I don't remember. Oh, no.
I got no.
No. All right, here's almost dead, too?
Here's 18 hit points for you.
Oh, thanks.
That's all I got till I pray.
I wonder what's in this pot.
I think we best just be rid of whatever's in there and not examine it too much. If it's a hag's pot cauldron there stewing, it's probably all bad news for us.
You said there was a potato in the pot?
No. There is a potato on the floor that was swept out of like the crates and sacks of storage here in the basement.
I felt like picking up the potato, but I don't want to anymore since it's not in a pot of water.
Okay, so the camera looks at the potato, and we crossfade to the table in the dining room.
With another potato.
With the potato sitting on the center of the table, and Uver, like in a very artsy shot, Uver comes up the stairs in the background.
Artsy shot notwithstanding, he's half singed too.
Everyone was very hurt in that fight.
I'm just fine.
Well, speak for yourself, Al.
Half wet, half singed.
So, Uver, as you come up from the stairs, you see the older couple. They're sitting at the table across from each other, and they both just kind of look at you just with looks of concern, like they clearly don't know how it went down in the basement.
In common, Uver is going to say, "It is all right. The danger has passed. She will not be hurting you or causing you any problems anymore."
And there's just a visible wave of relief that washes over both of them. And the older man's just like, "Oh, thanks, Saren, right?" And the woman just like is like crying, but you can tell it's happy tears. Just the overwhelm of emotion is just catching up to her.
There is a little bit of damage to some of your stores. We are sorry about that.
The man just like jumps up and takes your hands. And is like, no, thank you. It's fine. We have plenty enough. It's almost spring anyway, and we'll be fine. Thank you. I can't thank you enough.
You don't have to. We are happy to help. If you wouldn't mind us staying the night while the storm passes.
Oh, of course. It's already letting up with that creature's death. But yes, of course, you're welcome to spend the night, and I'm sure we can scrape together a little something as a thank you.
I appreciate the thought behind it, and I would be lying to say it wouldn't be appreciated for a little bit of warm food, but don't think that you have to make a grand feast or anything. We are happy that we could do this little thing for you, and that you are safe now.
Oh, and the old man just kind of like starts like vigorously shaking his ear hand, and he's just like, "Oh, we'll have more than just a little warm dinner for you. No worries about that."
Now, if you don't mind, I think I need to sit down.
And he's just going to sit down at the table. I'm just over half HP left.
So after Val heals Alward and after Uvair has talked to them, he's going to walk upstairs. And are we able to stay here, Uvair?
He just gestures to the host.
Yes, of course. Please, make yourselves at home.
Oh, perfect. I'll get started on dinner. And he's going to go to the kitchen.
And as you're saying that, the older woman just kind of like sits up and like straightens up her clothes. Like, I will help. I'll help.
No, that's fine. I'll handle it. It's okay. Can you show me where your stuff's
at? You just
at?
Hear an ancient Thessalonian.
Let the lady cook in her own kitchen, Albert.
No. I just respond and comment. No, it's fine. I'll handle it. It's
Albert.
Okay.
Sit down.
So the evening passes agreeably as Alward and the older woman together prepare dinner. They have very different techniques and skills, but it works out to something quite nice in the end. As you are all, you know, enjoying the evening, settling down for the night, the older man comes back up from the basement with like a basket covered in a cloth and just sets it down on the table in front of you all as you're gathered around eating. And he's like, our village has been hit by some hard times recently, and, well, there's not a lot left here for us, so my wife and I will be moving to Joel. But there are some things that our village had gathered that might be helpful to folks such as yourselves.
We don't need anything from you. It's fine.
When do you plan on moving to Joel?
Oh, it'll take us some time to gather our belongings and prepare, but sometime in the next couple weeks here.
I was just looking around at his party like, I don't know how to approach this topic.
So...
Is there something the matter with Joel?
Yes.
Well, you see, we are actually currently working on making sure Joel is not overrun by a group of evil people. It's actually in danger as we speak. So it might not be the best place for you all to move to.
If you were going to move, I would suggest moving to what was the village that we just left?
Solskin?
Solskin. I would suggest in the meantime maybe moving to Solskin.
Oh, they've got a shadow problem though.
It seems that they...
Yeah, that's been taken care of, right?
Yes.
Well, bless your hearts.
Oh, no.
No, it was another group of adventurers, I think.
There's a very small place southwest of Copperberget, close to the forest, actually. Just kind of around that way. It's called Otherton. It's a small little place where I was raised.
Well,
it's not a bad place to go to.
We could definitely, I suppose, spend some time there, but...
I was on the northeast side of...
Yeah, I think it was on the other side of the forest.
Yeah, you're right.
We would have to cut through.
Sorry, yeah, the northeast side of the forest. You go around, I guess.
And the older woman cuts in at this point, and she's just like, darling, what about Aurora's place over in Brush Hollow? She could put us up for a few weeks.
That's even better. Someone you know.
Yes, it's actually, Brush Hollow's not far from here. It's just a few miles north on the edge of the forest.
Is that where we're going?
Is that where we're going?
This is the first you've heard of it.
Are we going north over where we're at?
Uvair, go ahead and make a society check. As Sven is making questioning glances in my direction.
I shall. Because for whatever reason, that sounds familiar. 27.
Yeah, so Uvair, you actually are familiar with Brush Hollow. You recall having been there before, and you had asked the locals some questions about, you know, life near the Grungir Forest and collected a few of their tall tales. Previously, when I was talking about, you know, you've heard of the Grungir Forest and you know that a lot of the stories they tell are more likely to be true than false, a lot of those stories you'd collected in Brush Hollow.
Any good memories of Brush Hollow? Like, it's a quaint little place or something like that?
It's a really eccentric place, shall we say. It's mostly populated by gnomes. And aside from the gnomes, you've got about an equal share of normal races and fae that live in the city. Or the village, rather. There's only a couple hundred inhabitants.
I remember Brush Hollow. I have been there before. I remember collecting some of the local stories and talking to the inhabitants, the gnomes and the fae, yes?
Yes. We used to do some trade with Brush Hollow back when our little hamlet here was a little more occupied than it is these days.
And this Aurora is your daughter, family member, or...?
Just a friend. She's an elf who runs an apothecary in the town.
Of course.
Do I actually recognize Aurora's name?
No, I don't believe you've met her.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've ever met her, but I am glad you have friends. And that place, if you've already done business and you know the locals, I think that would be a good place to go. The stories about the Grungia Forest fascinate me. And perhaps can be a protection somewhat for you in these times.
It might be. If Joel's not safe, maybe the forest would be safer.
Either way, we're actually heading to the Grungia Forest.
Yeah.
Would we be passing by Brush Hollow, actually?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you're, as far as I understand, you're just heading to the forest and hoping you pick up tracks or word of your quarry.
Mm-hmm.
So Brush Hollow might actually be a better place to redirect and hone in and see if anybody there has heard of Ylva.
If you wish, perhaps we can help you move if you don't mind.
Oh, that would be so good of you.
Yes.
And you don't mind the delay? It'll take us some time to get our things together.
That's fine. I still need to clean up downstairs.
And we can help and make the time shorter.
I have a servant that can help. Conjure my unseen servant and he just starts moving stuff around.
Well, that is an impressive trick.
Thank you.
We don't see a lot of magic here in our small hamlet.
Oh, that makes sense, I suppose.
I am sorry that you have to leave your home, though.
It's been good for us. But, you know, once y'all have secured Joel, it'll be good to be a little bit closer to our children, too.
I can tell that this place has been a home. There are good memories here. And much love.
We spent a lot of time in Joel recently. Maybe we met your children. What are their names?
Well, we do have a tall son with blonde hair named Rain. And we have a beautiful daughter named Yursa.
Remind me what your names are again.
Oh, we never did introduce ourselves, did we? My name is Thorald. And this is my wife, Reinvik.
Oh, did you name your son after her?
Kind of. It's a family name.
Rain?
Yes, it's like if you have a father named Stephen and his daughter named Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Well, that's pretty great. My name's Val. I don't know if we introduced ourselves to you either.
It's all gone by so fast. We were just so focused on making dinner.
and you know, making sure we got rid of the monster and... Ah, it's wonderful to meet you and get to spend time with you.
I am Uver.
The way you said that made it sound like there was going to be more. Like, I am Uver, caller of the storms, master of the ice age.
Scarred of the runes.
Oh, it's good to meet you. It's good to meet all of you.
Everybody say your name.
But I will say I've been dramatically standing next to this basket full of stuff I was going to present to you.
You've already said we don't want it.
Oh, well, okay.
Except Uver puts his hand up, though.
out of curiosity, what is... what?
Well, it's mostly gold. He takes the cloth off the basket.
Well, you're gonna need that gold for the move, aren't you?
Oh, this is the stuff we couldn't move.
What?
What?
Take the daggum money, Sam!
You gotta rent a U-Haul.
All right.
That was really aggressive.
I'll put it this way. The hag came and she killed everyone else in the hamlet.
Oh, I got you. Yes. So. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. All
you
right.
Don't want blood money, is that what you're saying?
I'm very honored. Thank you.
Why'd she keep you alive? If you don't mind me asking, I mean...
She was using us as bait. So anytime someone would come by, well, she'd try to use us to lure them in.
I see, and it did work.
And you weren't the first. You've just been the first to succeed against her.
We have a history of succeeding.
No, we really don't.
What are you talking about? We stopped that Saito fellow just not long ago.
Alward's having flashbacks to the ball, just all of the failures.
In any event, there are a couple interesting things in this basket. There's 180 gold pieces.
Oh.
So that'd be 36 for each of you if you split it evenly.
Well, is somebody doing party inventory?
I was never able to get a concurrent list of everything. But I will start keeping track.
How much was it? 36?
Yeah.
Or 180 total.
There's also a couple items that might be of use to more adventuring types such as yourselves. We do have this, and he pulls out a small runestone, which you know is used to transfer enchanting runes from items to items. This is a rune that I took off one of our dear friends after the hag got to him. I saved it for later in case we might be able to use it against her, but I want you all to have it. It's a flaming rune.
Oh. Makes a melee weapon do extra fire damage?
That's right. It's a very astute way of describing the effects of this thing.
So that would go between either me and Petite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need it since I have the...
Well, you'd put it on your bow, and whenever you do the magic strikes, it also adds the fire damage.
Or it just generally adds fire damage.
Or I can put it on my glaive.
It's up to you. I don't really need it.
I'll take it then.
The only weapon I have is a dagger. I mean, or if you want to count my tentacle arms, they're technically a weapon.
Fire arms. Fire tentacle arms.
If we give her the fists of fisting... I don't
the
know.
The what?
I don't remember what they're called.
Hand wraps of mighty blows.
Thank you. If we get her the hand wraps of mighty blows,
she could have flaming tentacles.
And put on the fire rune, does it count for her tentacles?
Yes.
So we could give it to her.
I can't put it on my... I don't think I can put it on my glaive because it's only a +1 weapon and I have that special rune.
Yeah. So give it to Petite.
I mean, we can just hold on to it now.
I'll take it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not a very difficult crafting check to move it later if you want to.
Yeah.
I have it now.
Oh my god.
It's attached to my rapier.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that was very quick and effective.
Put it on your bow.
Put it on whatever you want, Petite.
But that's what I had in the basket for you.
That's very kind of you.
Yes.
And as you're all, you know, getting ready for bedding down and everything, the older man kind of takes Uver aside.
Yes.
I remember your name. I'd been speaking with Aurora, and she spoke highly of you from your time coming through town. This belonged to my friend who was a wizard of sorts here in town, and well, I'd like for you to have it. And he hands Uver a long staff with an obsidian orb at the end.
Thank you.
Do I recognize what it is?
Make an arcana check.
Okay. That will be a 31.
Yes, you do recognize it. You know that this is an atmospheric staff. So, like most staffs, you know that this has some spells that it's imbued with, and every morning it gains a certain number of charges, and you will be able to use the power in the staff to cast additional spells aside from your regular spell list.
I take the staff out of his hand, and
thank you. I I will try to use it in a way that honors his memory.
I thought you would. Rather, I knew you would. Otherwise, I wouldn't have given it to you.
And Uver takes it and sets it on the ground. And just this metal... And it just... You can tell he loves the feel of it. It just feels natural in his hand.
Yes, I think that this will help our cause. And I hope to help many people with it. Thank you.
With 5 able-bodied young folks...
And an unseen servant.
4.
4 able-bodied young folks.
And 2 messed servant. Up old men.
2?
Cornelius is here.
Oh. I'm here too. I always forget about him.
He's you so should, quiet.
You should be able to get it packed. Should be about a day for you to get everything in order and packed and ready.
Okay.
So as everybody's getting ready to bed and sleep, you just see a tent start to arise from the corner
oh
of the room.
Gosh.
And Zephyr slowly just creeps into it and just goes, good night.
It just arises from the concrete.
Good night, Zephyr.
You build it like a 3D printer.
It's been printing this entire time. It just got finished.
So how we always set up tents.
With that, we'll go ahead and do a transition. And we will find our group now arriving as they crest over the hill. And they see not far away from them now is Brush Hollow, which is a small village that's built into the very edges of the Grungir Forest. You all have taken a day to help the older folks pack up and get ready to leave, and then a second day to journey from their hamlet to Brush Hollow, and you're now approaching that village. You can see there's a good degree of activity in life there. They don't seem hectic, but, you know, it's also not a ghost town. There's gnomes milling about from building to building. The most interesting thing is it seems like the buildings have been built around and with deference to the trees, rather than where you'd find a normal settlement. They would say, oh, this tree's in the way. I want a house here. They cut it down and put the house there. With the Grungir Forest and Brush Hollow, they seem to have acknowledged that the trees hold a greater claim to the land than they do.
Very pretty.
So you're saying that they built a town where the brush was hollow?
Yes.
It's such a beautiful place. Like craftsmanship there. Weaving it into the forest instead of breaking it apart. I'm just in awe right now at the beauty of it. So are all the cities around here, all the towns like this?
Well, most of them, the further you get into the forest, the more they are like this, in harmony with nature.
That's very wonderful.
It is both beautiful as it is necessary. The forest would not have it any other way.
Oh, I see. So, it's ominous, but
he's accurate.
I'll take your word for it. I'll try not to let my guard down too much here.
Just treat the forest as you would treat an old friend. If you do not harm it, it will not go out of its way to harm you.
Noted.
You need better friends.
Am I needed, guys? I want to, there are a lot of gnomes, and it's been a minute since I've got to practice my gnomish.
We could probably get unloaded. Yeah.
All right, yeah, thank you. I would like to gather information with the gnomes.
All right, and that is diplomacy?
I just looked it up, and I fully forgot.
Oh my gosh, Jenkins, get it together.
I'm sorry.
We just lost 2 of our workers to help unpack.
That is true.
2.
I'm still here.
Yeah, him and his unseen servant. Oh. And again.
While he's looking that up, can I get a reminder why we're in the forest in the
it's
first place?
Yes. So you're going to the forest looking for Ylva, the green speaker. She was supposed to be raising some troops in the army for their army. And she'd mentioned that she wasn't having a lot of success, but she felt she was close to a breakthrough.
Okay.
I do not have streetwise, okay. So unless you want to be kind to me or give me some bonus since I'm speaking gnomish to these gnomes.
I'll give you a +2 circumstance bonus for using their language.
That would be an 11 for my diplomacy.
All right. And what are you wanting to find out?
What we're here for. The whole reason why we're here.
Gotcha. So you're specifically trying to gather information about Yulva.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without hopefully raising suspicions.
Are you avoiding raising suspicion?
I don't think I have the feat that allows me to avoid a raising suspicions. Because that would be secret inquiry or something like that.
It's called discreet inquiry, yeah. And I have it.
That.
So as you are talking to the gnomes, not guarding your topic of conversation because you don't have that feat, you do actually hear about, they've been talking about, yeah, there's this woman from Joel who she actually passed through the forest a few months ago. Or not the forest, that she passed through a town a few months ago and then has been making periodic trips back to Brush Hollow to resupply.
Okay. Do I learn when their last time their resupply was and how often?
She last resupplied 2 days ago. Generally, she does a weekly trip, but up until, leading up to that trip where she came through 2 days ago, there was actually a while in between. It was about 3 weeks. Some people were starting to wonder if the forest had finally gotten her.
Okay. That is around a 2-hour activity, so I will wait and then tell everyone when I get back.
I feel like unpacking is longer than 2 hours.
Probably.
Depends.
They're really fast. Just go, go, go!
Assembly line.
Well, we're unpacking and I assume just right into the house. Val is going to help Neros carry some stuff. Neros, I just wanted to say, I know there's been a lot of tension lately, but it's really good to have a friend. I haven't really had a lot of people I've been very close to in my life, so it's been very nice. I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate you.
My brain's not working. I'm like, I should have a response to this, and my brain is just like radio silence.
Neros could just be radio silence.
That would be rude.
Neros just stares at Val. And then walks away.
Unblinking.
I mean, I haven't had that many people I'm close to either. I'm still getting used to it. I mean, all these weirdos.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess you're in that. You're not a weirdo. That's not what I'm saying. The other ones are. Yeah.
It's okay. I know I'm not necessarily normal like other people, but it's all right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So before too long, you successfully unpack all of the boxes and everything from the wagon that they used to get here and got the essentials and necessities set up so they're able to spend the night in this new cottage they've found. The five of you quickly recognize that whether they're willing or not, there's not really enough room for them to put you up in their cottage that night.
We're a large group.
I've got a tent. I am good.
Got a tent!
Technically, all of us should still have tents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first thing we were given in this campaign.
Was.
The first of many benevolent gifts.
A tent.
So you do, of course, have the option to set up a camp outside of town.
Why not inside of town?
You could try that.
We're going to be homeless in the streets.
Is there perhaps an inn?
There is. In fact, Alward is aware of this inn, as one of the places he was gathering information was the Dancing Fairy.
Oh, I love that.
Alward, since you were at the Dancing Fairy, you know that it is named after its proprietress.
The proprietress is a little tiny dancing fairy?
Yes.
I love this.
Her name is Arya Thistledown.
I love this. Oh, I speak fae. So while I'm there, I'm just going to go ahead and purchase rooms for all of us. I'm just speaking to her and Faye, getting information.
Oh, you said rooms.
Rooms.
I heard runes.
I'm going to get runes for everyone.
Hmm? Where'd you get the money for that?
We just got paid. Also, I had 36 gold beforehand.
So each room is 30 gold. No.
Oh my goodness.
Do you still owe me money?
I do.
Can't remember.
I do. I owe you one. I owe you 5 silver less, I believe. So I owe you 39 gold and 5 silver.
I'm going to write that down.
Jeez.
So the inside of the Dancing Fairy, which I presume that all 5 of you are heading to here at the end of the day, the inside is very unusual for taverns in the area. You're all quite used to more Ulfin-sized taverns, you know, made for folks who are, you know, short people are 5 foot tall, average is 6 foot tall in this area. Val, going into the Dancing Fairy, you have to duck to get in through the door. The tavern is roomy for gnomes. They don't have a human-sized section, but they do have a gnome-sized area and a pixie-sized area in the common room.
Right, so this is the only tavern here, so the rooms aren't going to be very big, so we're going to have to squish, but I did get us all our own room.
Oh, I am aware. I have frequented this place before.
Zephyr, I got you a gnome-sized room.
As long as my tent can fit. I'm good with that.
It should be fine, Howard.
Why do you set up your tent inside?
I go up to the barkeep and order a bowl of mushroom soup and fey.
I didn't know you speak fey.
Oh, I thought you were both getting a bowl of mushroom and fey soup.
That is what I heard.
it crossed my mind for a second too, and then I realized what he was doing.
I order in fey a bowl of mushroom soup.
There we go.
The gnome who's working behind the counter seems impressed with your grasp of the fey tongue, and he provides you with your bowl of mushroom soup.
Do I recognize the gnome?
No, he seems to be a new hire, because you've been in this tavern mm-hmm. before, but you don't recognize him.
Do I know the old tavern keep?
The proprietress? Yes, you have met her before. So, Alward, you bought rooms. Mm-hmm. Arya Thistledown seemed to be a respectable business person when you were buying rooms. Uver, you are aware that that is a charade. She takes every opportunity to haze travelers through town, as it were.
I just ask the gnome, and how is Arya? Is she here?
Oh, she's her usual self. She was here earlier today, and some stranger, that guy over there, actually, he came and ordered some rooms, and then she said she had something she needed to go do.
I was afraid of that. Would you be so kind as to contact her and let her know that I am in town with friends? More specifically,
and I gesture over to the new guy over there.
And to, if possible, well, you know.
Right. He taps the side of his nose. We'll make sure your rooms are ready for you.
I don't like that.
Did Howard get scammed?
I just add a silver.
Not too much.
He takes the silver and then turns and he's like, hey, George, watch the counter for me. Runs off. This halfling is like, what? Wait. As he runs off.
Howard, do you have the key out to the room? Thank you. I'm gonna go get out of this armor so I can move around a little better. So she's gonna hunch down and kind of walk her way, hitting her head on the occasional thing.
Oh yeah, you're really tall, aren't you?
So Val, as you are Gandalfing your way to your room, you come around the corner and you see a gnome closing one of the doors. And he, like, snickers and then looks down the hall and sees you and goes, oh, hello.
Hello.
Can I help you?
I'm just on my way. I'm speaking in Fae as well.
Do we all know Fae?
No.
Oh, okay. You bunch of nerds.
I'm just heading to my room.
What's your room number?
Pi.
Oh, I'll fancy that. That's this room here. And he opens the door he was just closing.
Can I roll like a perception check on this guy?
I don't think you need a perception check to know he's acting weird.
Right? What are you just doing in my room?
Nothing. I was just making sure it was ready. You know, just the old open the door, give it the once over with the eyeballs, and close the door.
Well, all right. I'm just gonna go into the room then.
All right. I was going to go that way, but I'll back up and let you go in. And once you're in, then I'll go that way.
Well, no, I could back up if you need me to. I can let you go through first.
That's a pretty narrow hallway. We're kind of cramped in here. I'll just back up and let you...
Well, I can
back
up.
No, I insist after you.
All right, then. Let's go. I really need to get changed. It's been a long day.
So, you go in the room?
Yeah. I awkwardly try and slip past this gnome.
So, as you enter the room, you notice that it's a similar decor to the entry area of like sort of lodge style. It's a very comfortable looking place. There's a nice teal woven rug in the center of the room. The bed is going to be small, but if you were careful, you could probably push it out of the way and pitch a tent in the middle of the room to have somewhere more comfortable to sleep.
I just use my bedroll. It's okay.
The gnome is just standing out in the hallway and just like, comfortable, isn't it?
It's a tad small, but it's all right. I'm kind of tall.
Yeah, you're pretty big.
Guys.
You're just awkwardly looking at...
Well, I need to go make sure the other rooms are ready. And he starts down the hall.
She's going to start looking around to see if he did anything.
What's your perception bonus?
9.
It looks cozy. Nothing seems amiss at all. All
right, then I'm going to take off my armor, so I'm just in my ashen gown, and then head back out with my instruments.
And you do that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know what you're doing.
That's suspicious, dude.
Alward is very untrustworthy of faith. It is canon. Okay.
I know this.
So I have my key now.
Yes, you do.
Zephyr is ready to go to his room. Does he know which one is his?
The number is written on the key.
What's the number?
Danish.
The number is Danish?
Mine was pi. His is a Danish.
Okay. I see what the trick is.
Instead of 3.14, it's 4.25.
No, it's a pi.
I go to the door that's in the middle of two doors, slightly to the left.
And there it is.
It's slightly to the right of door 3.
That hurts my brain. No.
I'm amazed at how comfortable Zephyr already is at navigating this tavern.
He's very small. So.
I assume there's only one hallway.
Yeah, you went exactly to the right door. The door that's between the two doors and is smaller. It's Danish.
Oh, right.
Sven is very unhappy right now.
I open the door and...
Irrational.
I begin to put my tent up. Is there enough room since it is a dwarf room? No. Gnome room?
Gnome room.
Gnome room. Is that the bigger or the smaller of the rooms? I forgot how big a fairy... Fairy?
In the common area, so you know how... IRL, we've got smoking area and non-smoking area. In the common area of the tavern, they just have a gnome area and a pixie area. They did have a handful of quote-unquote human-sized rooms, which Alward rented out, but there were only 4 of them, and that's why you've got a gnome room. So it's similarly cramped for you, but not quite as bad as it is for the others, because when they're building this building, they actually know how big gnomes are, so they know how much room you need.
How much... smaller am I than a gnome or bigger?
You are tall for a gnome, but you'd be in the same size category.
I guess my point was, can I fit my tent in here?
It'll be a tight squeeze, but yes.
Okay. Is there anything amiss with the room? Just anything out of place? Anything that I wouldn't notice?
What's your perception bonus?
+9, I believe.
Everything seems fine.
Can I look again?
Not for another 10 minutes.
You have to go stand in the corner.
After the tent is set up and everything. Are there indoor restrooms in this place? Okay, so it's... Dang.
There's an outhouse.
Do I have a window?
Yes.
Is it openable?
It is not closable. Well, I mean, it is not closable and see-throughable. You can use the shutters to shut the window.
Can I go in it?
The shutters.
Can I leave the window? I'm gonna step out the window.
Okay. Outside, there's some nice springy early season grass, some flowers.
I'm gonna see if I can close the window behind me so that it's not like open.
Yeah, easily done.
And then I'm going to circle around back to the front door. Is there anybody out there?
I mean, there are a couple people passing by, but it is getting later in the day, so there's not a whole lot of people outside, no.
I'm just going to sit out there until the sun goes down.
Okay.
Just going to sit and enjoy.
Uver is going to finish his bowl of mushroom soup, have a house special drink, talk with some of the people that he recognizes, and switch into his accent, apparently. And he's going to go to his room. He's going to give it a once-over.
Which is... tart.
A tart. He's going to go to his tart room. He's going to give it a once-over, just to be sure.
So describe giving it a once-over.
I assume he's already been through a hazing.
Oh, yes.
So he's going to look.
So... The first time you were here, you were actually pranked before you'd made it into your room, even. You'd asked for your customary ale, and when it was served to you, the more you drank of it, the more you found yourself irrepressibly laughing, almost as if someone had cast hideous laughter on you. It didn't go over very well, and they promised never to prank you again. So you're feeling pretty good. You made it to your room and nothing's happened.
True. My perception's 11.
You think he trusts this man?
Uber, as you begin to open the door to your room, very carefully, very cautiously, you hear a scrape of wood against wood, and you look up, and there's a bucket perched on the top of your door.
Hey, you can actually reach this.
Is there a gnome nearby?
When I rolled a secret perception check for you, and you don't see a gnome.
Okay. Uver just looks up and sees that and just sighs. And this is why you don't trust the Fae, even when they make a promise. Am I right? And you just hear this boom as he just smacks his staff on the floor.
We cut downstairs to all of the other gnomes. You're just like, what was that?
As he reaches up and grabs the bucket.
Which is well within reach of a tall dwarf like Uver. Mm.
What's in it? Just water or something?
It looks to be glitter.
Oh, no!
But you are able to remove it from the door without spilling much of it. So you now have a bucket of glitter.
I have a bucket of glitter. And Uver's out for blood.
The title of Uver's new mixtape.
It's a long But name. He'll go into his room.
If you want help, you know someone who pranks people.
That's true.
Uver might remember this.
And we'll close this episode then with a dramatic shot of Uver in the background, out of focus, staring at this close-up shot of a bucket of glitter. And that's where we'll end the episode.
Woo! I would have loved a glittery Uver.
All right, and the hero point for this episode is going to Jenkins for his effective taking leadership once we get into town and just moving the story along and getting the info we need to keep pushing. And also the cool automatically just speaking all the languages everybody in this town speaks.
It's because of the book.
The book.
It's actually the not. Book. Yeah, thank you guys. Oh my goodness. Thank you guys so much for this hero point. I'm so excited to have another one since I had none previously. You know, I'm gonna do nothing. I'm gonna go and do nothing.
Okay. Sounds nice.
Yeah. I'll be in the void for a bit. Bye.
And we'll see you all in the next episode. This has been an Atomic Broadcasting production. Pathfinder, Galarian, and the Lost Omens world setting are copyright of Paizo. More information at paizo.com. Music in the show is from Monument Studios collection, as well as assorted artists, with some original tracks composed by Jordy Hake. More details in the description. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to share with a friend, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
Here comes the void.
Here comes the void, and it says,
just static.
Yeah.